We left off, we're right at Tavchaf Amir Aleph actually, but we were right in the middle of a discussion. We were talking about, the Mishnah had spoken about if a person used mats for schach, so what kind of mats can be used, what kind of mats cannot be used. The rule is actually a fairly simple rule, that if the mats are made for sichuch, they can be used for schach, but if they are made for shchiva, then it's a kli, it's mekabel tuma, and it cannot be used for schach. But there is a machlokas, Reb Elazar and the Chachamim, in the Mishnah, and the Gemara is working on trying to explain what exactly the machlokas is about, which cases they are arguing about. So we already went through yesterday the first two explanations of what they might be arguing about. Today we're going to have a third explanation of what they're going to be arguing about, and that's going to lead right into a discussion of different types of mats that may depend on the size of the mat or may depend on how the mat is made when determining whether it's a kli that's mekabel tuma or not. The Gemara is going to discuss chotzlos, and it's going to talk about what they are first of all, and then a machlokas whether they are they're metame medris or only metame things like tumas meis. Are they roi l'shchiva? And that obviously fits into our Gemara because a chotzos might mean mats, and also because we're talking about things that are roi l'shchiva, because the mats typically when they're not roi for schach, it's because they are roi l'shchiva. The Gemara is going to talk about the status of tumas medris for mats from different places, and it's going to bring a couple of rayas at the end of the parak whether chotzos means a shepherd's bag or it actually means mats, and that's going to be the end of the first parak of Sukkah. And Be'ez Hashem, at the end of this year, we'll begin the second parak, where we're going to talk about the halacha of sleeping underneath a bed in the Sukkah. So we are holding right now at the very top of Daf Chaf Amud Aleph. The Gemara had tried to explain already the machlokas between the Tanakama and Rabbi Eliezer, but the way we had phrased the problem in the Mishnah was that the Mishnah spoke about if a person made a mat l'shchiva, that it's not roi to use for schach, and if a person made a mat l'sikuch, that it is roi to use for schach. The Mishnah never spoke about what if a person made a mat stam, without any specific intention. So then, can it be used for schach, or can it not be used for schach? So it seems like a stira, because if you tell me that you make it l'shchiva, it's no good, that implies stam is good. You tell me you make it l'sikuch, it is good, that implies stam is no good. So first, the first attempt was to say that maybe when the Tanakama says, asol l'shchiva, mikabelas tuma, that was talking about a large mat. When it says l'sikuch mesachim b'veinu mekabelas tuma, that was talking about a small mat. But the problem with that was that Rabbi Eliezer says explicitly, achas ketana v'achas gedola, both ketana and gedola have the same halacha, and he also has these opposite implications of what the halacha would be by stam. So the Gemara will pick up again four lines from the bottom of Yutasim Beis. Elam Rava, the Gemara had said that Rava suggests that maybe the machlokas of the Mishnah is as follows. When you talk about a large mat, we can assume that it's made for schach. Ki pligi b'ketana, the whole machlokas is by a small mat. Tanakama savar stam ketana l'shchiva. Tanakama holds a typical small mat is made for shchiva. Reb Elazar savar stam ketana nami l'sikuch. And Reb Elazar holds that a typical small mat is made for sikuch. V'hachi kamar, and this is how the Mishnah should read. Machzelos hakanim gedola. The Mishnah starts out by talking about a large mat. Asa l'shchiva mekabel sumavei mesachin. But if you make it specifically for shchiva, so it's mekabel tuma, and you cannot be mesachich with it. But that's only if you made it specifically for shchiva. But if it were just made stam, then it would be nasa kemi. It's as if you made it for sikuch, because gedola typically is assumed to be for sikuch, and therefore you're allowed to be mesachich with it. It is not mekabel tuma, who can use it for schach. Skipping the parentheses, Vasa Rabbi Elazar lemeimer, and Rabbi Elazar argues, and he says, achas ketana v'achas gedola, stama ksheir l'sikuch, that stam mats, regardless of their size, even if they are ketana, even if they are small mats, stam mats we assume are made l'sikuch. Only if you have specific kavana that you want to make it l'shchiva is it going to be a problem l'shchiva. So the way it turns out that when it comes to large mats, there is no machlokas at all. Clearly, if you make it l'shchiva, so then it's a problem. You make it l'sikuch, then it's no problem. And stam is good also when it comes to large mats. The whole machlokas is dafka by smaller mats. When again, you make it l'shchiva, obviously no good. You make it l'sikuch, obviously yes good. What about stam smaller mats? That's where the Tanakama says that a stam small mat is assumed l'shchiva and is no good, and Rabbi Elazar says that it's assumed l'sikuch and it is good. So Amar le'Abaye, Abaye says, wait a second, like, that's the machlokas. Ihachi Rabbi Lezer Omer, achas ketana v'achas gedola. The way Rabbi Lezer phrases it in the Mishnah is that achas ketana v'achas gedola, whether it's small or large, really it should have been the opposite. Achas gedola v'achas ketana. Meaning, if what they agree upon is gedola, they agree upon what the halacha is by a large mat, and they're only arguing about a small mat, so he should have said, it's not only by a large mat, whether it's large or even small, the halacha is going to be that stam is lesikuch. That's the way it should have been phrased. Now, it should be noted there are multiple girsaos over here and exactly what the order was in the Mishnah, but the way our girsa works very well with our girsa in the Mishnah, so we don't have to do any sort of mental gymnastics to make this fit. It actually fits very nicely, but this is the girsa that actually reflects Rashi's this was not the girsa Rashi had in front of him. Rashi had to say a chiddush to change it to this girsa. So this our girsa is and the way I just explained it is the way Rashi understands it. So anyway, so the Gemara is asking. So the phrasing should have been achas gedola va'achas ketana mi bayale. That's the way it should have said it. Va'oda, not only that. Ki pligi begedola hu de pligi v'Rabbi Eliezer l'chumra. We actually find that the machlokas is by a gedola and Rabbi Eliezer is l'chumra. Meaning the way Rava just framed the machlokas for us is that everyone agrees by a gedola, that all machlokas is only by a small mat. But we know that that's not true because we're going to see in a brisa that they argue about a large mat and Rabbi Eliezer is the one who's more machmir. The way we just had it was that they argue about a small mat and Rabbi Eliezer was the one who's more makel. Rabbi Eliezer says that by a small mat, even when you make it stop, it's assumed to be the sikuch. But we're going to see in the Braisa the exact opposite. They argue about a large mat, and Rabbi Lazar is the more machmir one. Where do we see that? Titania, the Braisa says as follows: Machzelas hakonim begedola misachin ba, with a large reed mat you can use for schach. Rabbi Lazar omer im eina mekabel tuma misachin ba. And Rabbi Lazar says if it's not mekabel tuma misachin ba, which means to say, says Rashi, kolomar im beferush asa'a the sikuch in ilolo. If you specifically made it in such a way that it should not be mekabel tumah, because you made it in a way where you were beferish having kavana to make it for sikuch, that's when it's not mekabel tumah, that's when it could be used for schach. But otherwise it cannot be. So it sounds like the Tanna Kamma assumes that a stam gedola is l'sikuch, and Reb Lazar holds that a stam gedola is l'shchiva. So don't tell me that the whole machlokas Reb Lazar and the Chacham, Reb Lazar and Tanna Kamma, is about a small mat, and that Rabbi Eliezer is more makel. No, it seems from the Brisa it's about a large mat, and Rabbi Lazar is more machmir. So says Gemara, the third and final explanation of the machlokas Rabbi Lazar and the Chacham in our Mishnah. Ella Amar Rav Papa. Rav Papa says that the machlokas reads as follows: Bekatano kulei alma lo pligi de stam l'shchiva. When you're making a small mat and you make it stam, everyone agrees that it's stam l'shchiva, that it's no good, that you cannot use it for schach. It's mekabel tuma. It's made to lie on. Ki pligi begedola. The whole machlokas is only by a larger mat. Tanakama sover stam gedola l'sikuch. The Tanakam would say that a stam large mat is assumed to be l'sikuch and therefore is fine. Reb Lezer suffers stam gedola nami l'shchiva. And Reb Lezer says that no, just like a stam ketana is made l'shchiva and is therefore not okay, a stam gedola is also made l'shchiva and is also not okay. Umay asa'a l'shchiva deka'amar. And what does he mean when he says asa'a l'shchiva? Meaning if he holds that a stam is l'shchiva, what does he mean that if you made it l'shchiva, it's no good? Even if it's stam, it's no good. Hachi kamra, what he means to say is stam asiyasa nami l'shchiva ad diavad l'sikuch. That when you make it stam, we assume that you make it l'shchiva unless you were to make it specifically having in mind l'sikuch. Now this third explanation is the one that the Gemara accepts in terms of the machlokas Rabbi Lazar and the Chachamim, but it's also the one that the Gemara doesn't actually flesh out how to go back and read the Mishnah. Meaning with the previous explanation, we tried to go back and read the Mishnah and see, okay, let's see all the words in the Mishnah and see how it fits in. The Gemara doesn't do that over here, so Rashi does it for us. If you look in Ella Amar Rav Papa, so he says, Umay Aschal L'shiva T'ktani B'milsid Rabbi Lazar, and what does Aschal L'shiva mean? The Gemara had already said this. Hachi Kamar, that is the Gemara. Says Rashi, and the way to read the words of the Tanakama are as follows. That like we said it in the first of the three attempts to explain the Tanakama, that Reisha Begedola, Kiduktani Behedya, Veseifa Begtana. The Tanakama had two statements. Statement number one, the Tanakama said, is that if you make it l'shchiva, it's no good. So that was talking about a Gedola, and his assumption is that if you make it stam, it is good. Statement number two was, if you make it l'sikuch, it is good. That was talking about a kitana, a small mat that has to be made l'sikuch in order for it to be good, but if you were to make it stam, it would be no good. V'achli kamar, v'im kitana hi, v'asa b'feirush l'sikuch, m'sachin ba hastam l'shchiva. The Tanakama's second statement is without saying the words that we're talking about a kitana, he's clearly shifting to talk about a kitana and to tell us that a small mat, if you make it stam, it would be assumed l'shchiva and would assume to be pasul. V'asa Rabbi Lazar l'meimer, and then Rabbi Lazar comes along and says, Af gedola shavihi lekatana. In terms of our problem that it should have said achas gedola viachas katana, no, it should say achas katana viachas gedola, like it does say that, because the katana is what everyone agrees about. And Rabbi Lazar is saying the gedola is just like the katana. The chiyava l'stam, aviyasal l'shchiva. That even a gedola, if you make it stam, it's assumed to be no good. It's assumed to be usable for lying on, and therefore not usable for schach. Umekabel estuma, it's mekabel tuma vein mesachim, but you cannot use it. The only way any mat is going to be good, says Rabbi Lazar, large or small, is if you make it beferush for the sake of schach. That's the only way any mat is going to be good, according to Rabbi Lazar. Now, this is that's the end of the sugya of mats in the Gemara. Now, in terms of mats nowadays, so there's an interesting discussion in the Rishonim. When we discuss Machzelus Katana, that you have to mean Lamaskana Sagamara, we seem to be saying Machzelus Katana needs to be made l'shem sikuch. That a Machzelus Gedola maybe doesn't, Machzelus Katana needs to be made l'shem sikuch. So Machzelus Rishonim, is that enough that the person himself makes it l'sikuch? Or maybe you need Kol B'nei Ha'ir make these kinds of mats l'sikuch, that it goes based on the minag of that makom. And if Rova the place makes it l'shchiva and you make it l'sikuch, maybe that's not good enough. The Rush writes, and it's quoted in the Ramah, maybe that's not good enough and you cannot use it for schach. Mishum Brura in the Mishum Brura in Tafrei Shchavtas Sivkat Yuches says that b'makomos halalu, in our places, the machzalos are all made l'shchiva, and therefore even if one were to make it l'sikuch, you cannot use it for schach because they're all typically made l'shchiva. Meaning, assuming like this shitas harash, like this shitas harama, that it doesn't matter what you're making it for; it matters what people generally use it for. So the poskim are done. What about bizmanenu, the machzalos that we make out of all sorts of schach related materials? Maybe there should be no chashash whatsoever. So Rav Binyamin Zilber in Shuvas Az Nidbru Chelik Bei Simin Samach Vav and Chelik Yud Bei Simin Lamed Hey writes that as manenu in Eretz Yisrael Nishtana Inyan, most people only use mats. They would never use it for shchiva or for yeshiva. It's only made for sikuch. That's the whole mat business is all a schach business, and therefore it's not mekabel tuma. And absolutely, you're allowed to be mesakech with it. And he says, even B'nai Edus HaMizrach, even the Svardim, that some of them still have from the countries that they had come from, some still use these kinds of mats for shchiva or for a rug or for something like that. They could be somech on the Das HaMechaber that holds that, again, there was the Rush and the Ramah who said that we go B'rov B'nai Yer. The Mechaber held that it goes by your own Kavana. So the Svardim are also, even if they happen to use these mats for other things, so they're Svardim though. They could rely on the Mechaber that it goes with their own Kavana, and that's totally fine. But in Az Nidbru, he quotes from a tshuva of a gadol echad that has a different reason to pasul. Based on a Rashba, tshuvas a Rashba that's miyuchas l'Ramban, sim reish tazayin, that says that if there were a lot of small boards that were connected to each other, that were nailed together and connected to each other, it would have a din of one board, and if together it's more than four tefachim, it's a problem of gezeres tikra, that it's like using a board that's more than four tefachim wide. So they want to suggest, but maybe by a machzelus as well, when you're mechaber, when you connect together in one piece, in one rug, all these different pieces of wood, maybe it becomes like one large board, and that's four tefachim wide, and therefore maybe it should be a violation of gezeres tikra. Not that it's mekabel tuma, it's not mekabel tuma, but it's a gezeres tikra, that it's too much like a roof of a house. And even those who argue on the Rashba, that's only when there's revach bein neser l'neser. I mean, even those who don't like the Rashba's shita, that putting small boards together makes it one big board, that's only, they only think, that those who are cholik on the Rashba would only be cholik because you're leaving gaps between the boards. But the way we make our schach mats, there's almost no gaps at all. They're right next to each other, it's right up against each other. So maybe everyone would be moda that this is a violation of Gzeres Tikra. So why is it that so many poskim are makel? So the Rov poskim seems to be are makel on this issue, because they're not worried about the Rashba for a couple of reasons. First of all, the Avni Nezer writes in the Tshuva in Or Chaim Siman Tafayin Gimel that the Rashba was only talking about the boards that are connected so tightly and in such a way that rain would not be able to come down through them, that it's like a roof of a house. No one in their right mind would ever use our schach mats for a roof of a house, because it would be a very, very poor roof. It wouldn't work out so well. And furthermore, no one makes in general. It's just not the material that you would make a tikra out of. No one would make it out of machzalos. It's flimsy. It's soft. It's just not generally roofing material. So the whole gzeres tikra lechara wouldn't apply. In Shevet Alevi, Rav Azna says another svara lahatir that the Rashba was only talking about something that can't be folded. Something that that's where we say gzeres tikra is shaykh. Something that could be folded. Something that could be manipulated like that and folded easily and rolled up, that we wouldn't say Xeris Tikra. And many, many other poskim all come with various svaras lekula. In Chalkas Yaakov also, Rav Breish's matir for several reasons, but he says that's min hadin. But really, we should always keep the minhagim of our fathers, the way we saw it being done, and we always remember the old bamboo sticks or leaves or whatever, and that was always the minhag. So he suggests not do mitam minhag, but not mitam din. It's hard to say not to do mitam minhag. Minhag is something that they had something available and they chose not to do it, because so the minhag developed. If they didn't have anything available, Rav Shechter always gives a mashal. Let's say you grew up in a shul that had a blue parochas. So that means you're not allowed to make any other color parochas, because you grew up in a shul that had a blue. It's not a minhag that they dafka didn't have a red parochas. That wasn't the minhag. They just happened to have a blue parochas. It doesn't mean that you're not allowed to have another. So they didn't have mats. That's it's a minhag that you have to follow. Not so clear that that's a minhag. The other issue that poskim raise when it comes to mats is that the old mats used to be made, and still sometimes, with strings that hold them together. So the strings, depending what they're made of, the strings may be a davar makabel tumah. So it may be a problem of being maimed bedavar makabel tumah. So now the mahadrin mats they make is actually just interwoven with actual eights. It's actually made with kanim itself. So you don't have strings that are makabel tumah. Maimed bedavar makabel tumah wouldn't possible, but it's certainly not a lechadchila. So that's the other issue that the poskim discuss when it comes to schach mats. Okay, Tana Rabbanan, we have a brisa. Machzela shel shifa v'shel gemi. If you have a machzela, a mat made out of shifa or gemi, these are different types of grass reeds. Gedolim mesachenba, ketanein mesachenba. If it's large, you can use it for schach. If it's small, you can't use it for schach. And again, the rule is a simple rule. The rule is that if it's made for schach, you can use it for schach. If it's not made for schach, you can't use it for schach. Shel kanim v'shel chilas, gedolim mesachenba. If it's made out of kanim or chilas, so now over here it's not gedol, it's gedula. If it's braided, you could be misakech with it, meaning if the way it's made is made with braids, you could be misakech with it, because then it's not comfortable to lie on. Something that's braided is very bumpy and is very uncomfortable. But aruga, if it's woven together in misachma, you can't use it for sikuch, because that's the kind of thing that a person would use to lie on, since it would yield a much smoother surface. So that's why you're not allowed to use it for sikuch. Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Yossi, Omer Mishum Aviv, Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi, this time talking in the name of his father. Last time we had Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi, he was going against the Tata with the hanging of the curtains. He was saying, Lo Rabbi Yossi, he wasn't in Rabbi Yossi in Sipur, he was Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi. But here Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi says in the name of his father that Achazu v'achazu mesachinba, that you could be mesach with it no matter how it's made, whether it's woven, whether it's not, you could be mesach either way. V'chein hayu Rabbi Dosa Omer Kedvarv. Now that line is going to come up again on Amud Beis, so let's remember that. Rabbi Dosa also agrees with Rabbi Yossi, with that achazu v'achazu misachin ba. Tanan Hasam, we have another Mishnah. Kol chotzolos metame tamei meis, divrei Rabbi Dosa. All chotzolos are metame. Actually, before we get to that other Mishnah of kol chotzolos, the Mordechai writes that machzela shel shifa v'shel gemi gedola, you're allowed to be mesakech with it. And he writes, Pirush Rabbeinu Elazar b'sefer Yoreim, mishum deshel shifa v'shel gemi eina mekablim tuma ki im midrabanan. The reason you're allowed to be mesakech with it is that shifa and gemi are only mekabel tuma midrabanan. So it sounds like, since it's not mekabel tuma midaraisa, you're allowed to be mesakech even though it is mekabel tuma midrabanan. So the Achronim point out, the Shumas Desh and others, that you see from the Mordechai that you're allowed to be mesakech with something that's mekabel tuma midrabanan, that it doesn't have to be not mekabel tuma at all. If it's only mekabel tuma midrabanan, that's good enough. So some of the Achronim just raise the question. The Avnei Nezer raises the question that if that's the reason it's mutter to be mesakech machzal shoshifa shalgami, so why is it aser b'machzalas ketana shalshifa v'shalgami? If it's only mekabel tuma midrabanan, so then it should be fine. So they say that there's a Talos Sofer in the Mordechai. What it should say is machzalas shalshifa shalgami gedolim mesachin ba. Pirush Rabbeinu Elazar b'sefer reim de shalshifa shalgami ena mekabel tuma rak midrabanan. So Rabbeinu Elazar is not coming to give a reason why it's mutter to use for schach. He's coming to say lahepach, that even by a davar mekabel tuma midrabanan, you're not allowed to be mesakech with it. That's a reason to say that one should not be. Should not be mesachich with something that's mekabel tuma on the drabbanan level. Okay, so that's the discussion about things that are mekabel tuma midrabbanan. Tanan asim, we have a mishnah. Kol chotzalos metam tuma meistiv Rabbi Dosa. Rabbi Dosa says chotzalos, whatever they are, we'll see in a moment what they might be, are all mekabel tumas meis. Rashi points out lav dafka tumas meis, any sort of tumas maga. It just means it's not roi l'shchiva. It's not something that would be mekabel tumas medris. Medris is a unique form of tuma that can only be passed to something that's right l'shchiva, that's right to sit on, to lie on, to lean on, something like that. So if you have a zav, a nida, who sits on, let's say even a sarah karm zal gavze, even if the zav isn't touching the thing that he's sitting on top of cushions, but if it's the bed underneath is right l'shchiva, and he's sitting on top of the cushions, he's metame the bed as an av hatuma, it becomes a medras hazav, it becomes an av hatuma. This is it's different than when a zav touches something. The Zav himself is an Av, something that he would touch would then become a Rishon. But over here, it becomes an Av HaTuma itself. It's a Medras HaZav. It's its own form of Tuma. But that's only when it's Roy L'Shchiva. So that's, Rabbi Dosa holds that, no, it doesn't, the Chotzalos, whatever they are not Roy L'Shchiva and are not Mekabel Tumas Medras. The Chum Omrim Medras. Chum say, yes, it is Mekabel Tumas Medras. Says, we're Medras in Tami Meis Lo. Only Mekabel Tumas Medras, not Mekabel normal Tuma. Tumas Meis, if a Meis touches it, it's not Mekabel Tuma. The rule is anything that's metami medrus by definition is also mekabel tumas meis. Same af medrus. Now what it means to say is that it's even mekabel tumas medrus, but of course it's mekabel tumas meis as well. My chatzalos. Okay, great. Now that we had a whole machlokas about what the tumas status of chatzalos are, Gemara says, what is the definition of the word? What does chatzalos mean? So two opinions. Amar Rav Avdimi Baramduri Marzuvli. It means marzuvli. Great, says the Gemara. My marzuvli. What are marzuvli? Amar Rabbi Abba, mizavli. It's mizavli. So says Rashi. Bolos va'asli l'roel anichon tachas rosh alishkov. It's a bag that a shepherd carries around, but it also doubled as a pillow. It was in the lashon chachamim where they translate all the laws over here and the laws of Rashi. Sak or shabo mishtam shemarom lavi ochel behemos. It's a bag that the shepherds bring food, that the shepherds carry around to bring food to the animals, and sometimes they would put it underneath their head when they lie down. So that's what would make a roi l'shchiva, that sometimes when they would lie down, it would double as a pillow. So that's what we're talking about, a bag. Rabbi Shimon Lakish Omer, machzalos mamish. Rabbi Shimon Lakish says, no, we're talking about a mat. We're not talking about a bag. Vaz Reish Lakish Tamei, and this Reish Lakish L'shita So. Dam Reish Lakish, Hareini Kaparas Rabbi Chiya Obanav. Reish Lakish says, Ashbi Kapara, meaning the Yisurin that come on me should be a kapara for Rabbi Chiyo Banav. That's an expression. Rashi says it's a lashon kavod. When you want to speak about someone who you hold in very high esteem, you say whatever Yisur and I suffer should be a kapara for them because they deserve all the good things in the world. So Hareini Kaparas, Rabbi Chiyo Banav. The other time we use Hareini Kaparas is when a person quotes his father within Yud Beis Chodesh after a father dies. A person doesn't just say Zuchon Levrach, it's Hareini Kaparas Mishkava. That's in Shulchan Aruch. That's the way a person is supposed to mention a parent after the parent dies. So anyway, Hareini Kaparas Rabbi Chiyo Banav. I should be Kaparas Rabbi Chiyo Banav Shebechila Kishen Shtakcha Torah Yisrael, because originally when Torah was first forgotten from Klal Yisrael, Allah Ezra mi Bavel v'yasta. Ezra came from Bavel and he was miyase the Torah anew. Chazra v'nishtakcha. Then when Torah was forgotten again, Allah Hilal Bavli v'yasta. Hilal Bavli was miyase Torah again. Chazra v'nishtakcha. Tanacha, Torah was forgotten again. Al Rabbi Chiyu Banav Yestuha. Rabbi Chiyu Banav were miyased it. That's why he speaks in such reverential terms about Rabbi Chiyu Banav, because they were miyased the Torah when the Torah was forgotten. Before we get to what they actually said, how many times was the Torah actually forgotten? Is the Torah forgotten all these times? The Aruch Lener explains that what's going on over here is that Ezra was Sofa Nevi'im, and he was Melami Torah Shebichsav, which was Krovel Ishtakeach, as the Torah Shebichsav was being wrapped up. Hillel was Sof Yimei HaKabbalah, where there were a lot of Talmidim in the days of Hillel. That's where Nisrabu Machlokas B'Yisrael, where there was Arbe Talmidim that Shalashim Shu called Sarcham. The actual you find in Shammai and Hillel, there are very few Machlokas in between Shammai and Hillel. There are only three Machlokas that Shammai and Hillel actually argue about, but the Talmidei Shammai and Hillel, there were too many Talmidim that were not Mishamish called Sarcham, so that's where Machlokas really started getting underway, and the Torah was Krovel Ishtakeach, and it was Nasa Kishtei Toros, so Hillel was Miyasid it based on what he taught to his to his Talmidim, and based on the fact that Abbas called backed him up, Yatza Abbas called and said Allah Kamoso B'chalmakom, so that way he kept the Torah unified. That said the Gemara in Erev and Daf Yud Gimel. Rabbi Chiya was the end of the days of Tanaim, where the Mishnah was written down and was Krovel Ishtakeach, if not for the fact that he was teaching over the Mishnah Baal Peh, so that it could then be written down, and Miyaseh the Braisa, that was Mefarish the Mishnayis, so that's why these were critical periods in time where revolutions in Torah study were made in order to maintain the tradition of what we had in Torah. Now, the Ritva writes that we don't find Nishtach the Torah Bimei Rabbi Chiya. He was in the generation of Rabbeinu HaKadosh, and there were plenty of Gedolei Yisrael around. So he says, the other examples, okay, we do see that there was some loss, but in the days of Rabbi Chiya, we don't really find that there was a loss of Torah. So he says, maybe what he's using this as an expression. He's saying that Rabbi Chiya was Mechadish, this halacha, that Kol HaMakayim Halacha Achas, Shelo Tishtakach, is Kilu Miyaseh, is called a Torah Kula. That if a person reminds us of just one halacha, that otherwise we would not have known. It's Ki'ilu he brought back the old Torah. So he's being dramatic over here, meaning, it says the Ritva, what really happened over here? What really happened was that Ezra was Miyaseh the Torah that when significant chunks of Torah would have been forgotten. Hillel was Miyaseh the Torah when significant chunks of Torah would have been forgotten. So he's trying to give Rabbi Chiya Uban of credit for one halacha that they said, Ki'ilu they were Miyaseh the Kala Torah Kula. But it's really just one halacha. So again, let's get back into what we're actually talking about over here. So Reish Lakish said that Machsalos Mamish is the subject of debate, whether it's Mekabel Tumas Medrash, whether it's Mekabel Tumas Mace only, or even Tumas Medrash. So we're saying Reish Lakish is Lishita So, because Reish Lakish is the one that quotes Rabbi Chiya Banav. What do they say? V'cheinam Rabbi Chiya Banav, lo'nechlu Rabbi Dosa V'chamim al Machsalos Shal Usha Shein Tumeos. There is no Machlokas between Rabbi Dosa and the Chachamim when it comes to the Machsalos of Usha. Those are for sure Tamei. V'shal Tveria Shein Taharos. And the Machsalos of Tveria are for sure tahar. Al manechluk well shar mekomos. They're arguing about mats made in other places. Mar saver kivin delekad yasav alayu kidet Tveria damyon. So one opinion holds that since no one sits on them, the Tanakama holds, the Chum holds, that since no one sits on them, it's like Tveria mats, and therefore they're tahar from Tumas Medrash. They're not mekabel Tumas Medrash. Umar saver kivin the mikriv yasav alayu kidu usha damyon. And the other one says no, since sometimes they would sit on it, sometimes they would lie on it, so it's considered like Usha mats. But the bottom line is, you see, Reish Lakish assumes that it's all about mats, that the Machlokas is about mats. So this is Reish Lakish Lishitasa. That's all the Gemara is trying to highlight, that this is Rabbi Shimon Lakish who said Machsalos Mamish is Azda Reish Lakish Litameh. This is Reish Lakish Lishitasa, because he explains the whole Machlokas, Tanakama and Rabbi Dosa, to be about mats. Now we're going to take a step back and say, wait a second, Amar Mar, we had said on the previous Amar, Kol HaChotzos Metamin to Meis Divrei Rabbi Dosa. The Rabbi Dosa Shita is that Chotzos are Metame Tumas Meis. Vatanya V'chena Rabbi Dosa Amar Kedvarav. But wait a second, didn't the Braisa also say that Rabbi Dosa agrees with Rabbi Yossi that Zu V'Zu Mesachin Ba? So it sounds like it's not a Kli, it's not Mekabel Tumah at all. How can you say that all mats are Mekabel Tumas Meis when Rabbi Dosa held that it's not a Kli at all and it's not Mekabel Tumah? So which is it? Is it okay or is it not okay to use? So Lo Kasha, Hadi Isle Gadanfa, Hadi Lesle Gadanfa. Depends if it has a rim around it. it. If it has a rim around the edges of the mat, so then it's a base kibul. And if it's a base kibul, then it's mekabel tuma, it cannot be used. But if there's no rim around the edge of the mat, then it's not a base kibul and it's not mekabel tuma, and it can be used for schach. So meis vei asked the Gemara, chotzel shel sham v'shel gemi v'shel sak v'shel sapira. Chotzel is made out of sham or gemi or goat hair or horse hair. Mitami tamei meis div Rabbi Dosa. Rabbi Dosa is mekabel tumas meis. V'chamam af medris. And the Chum say it's even mitami tumas medris. So bishlam mandiam marzuvli. I understand very well if you assume that what does chotzel mean? It means a shepherd's bag. Shel sham v'shel gemi chazul lekinsa depiri. I understand what a sham and gemi shepherd's bag could be used for, even though it has a lot of holes in it. It could be used for big fruits to transport large fruits that aren't going to fall through the holes. Shel sak v'shel sapira. And if it's made out of goat hair or horse hair, also chazul gulki v'tsani. You can make it tight enough and make it a bag with no holes that you can even use it for very small types of produce. El mandiam remachzalus mamish. But if we're assuming that we're talking about mats over here, bishlam shel sak v'shel sapira. I understand why a mat made of sak and shel sapira would be made out of different hairs would be mekabel tuma chazul parsi v'navasa, because it could be used as a parsi. Rashi says, what does it mean over here? It means mesach ha-pesach. It means like a screen. It's a vilon keneged ha-pesach. It's a curtain or a screen that you would put by the doorway. And Rashi says, where do we get that from? Shemos perek lamed hey. You look at the targum on Shemos perek lamed hey. So that definitely counts as daf yomi coincidence. We just read this in the last aliyah in yesterday's parsha. So that's what the term means. So parsi means a screen. V'navasa, what's navasa? So Rashi says it's a sieve to sift wheat in. So I understand how a mat can function as a kli on that level. Ela shel sham v'shel gemi l'may chazu. But if the mat is made out of sham and gemi, what could you use it for? In what way would it ever be considered a kli? So it says the Gemara, chazu l'nizyasa. It could be used for nizyasa. What's nizyasa? So anyone who ever learned the first parak of ksuvus in yeshiva, so we always, one of the big toasts in the first parak of ksuvus, hay mesuchraya d'nizyasa, that the covering of a beer barrel, or a wine barrel, the thing that they would use, that's the schita sugya. It gets soaked and you squeeze it out. So the Tosfos has a long discussion about dash and about schita. So nizyasa, that's what Rashi says. It's a covering. You can use it to cover up a barrel of some sort. Tosfos over here says, wait a second, a covering of a barrel, is that something that would make it mekabel tuma? Do things that just cover other things, are they mekabel tuma? So he has several mishnayos in Ahlos that seem to say not that way, that something that's a covering is not a real kli and would not be able to be mekabel tuma. The Marsham as a tshuva in Chelek Aleph Siman Reish Tezvav, where he was asked about mummies that were found in Egypt and they were on display in a museum in glass cases. So he was asked whether a kohen is allowed in the room if the mummy is in a glass case and there's a poseach tefach between the mummy and the top of the case. Typically, if you have a poseach tefach, so that stops the tumma, right? That makes its own ohel and it would stop the tumma from going through. And there's no sof tumma latzeis over here because it's supposed to stay in that glass case. It's not supposed to be removed when they put things in the museum. It's not for playing with. It's just to observe under the glass. So the Marsham is not sure whether Kohanim are allowed to go in. So he says it could be that the glass cover that's on the mummies is chotzitz pifnei atuma and therefore makes an ohel and would make it okay. However, the Marsham points out that he thinks that maybe the kisoy is not mekabel tuma based on, and therefore again if the glass were mekabel tuma, then it would not be chotzitz pifnei atuma. Then the tuma would go right through and the Kohanim would not be allowed there. So he says he's to say that it's not mekabel tuma based on our sugya. Machzalos made from all these different minim, we're discussing whether mekabel tuma or the yukumim misachich, and Tosov over here says that a machzalos that's made for a kisui alone is not mekabel. It's not mekabel anything. It's not. It doesn't have a base kibul. Is mekabel tuma because it's not considered is not mekabel tuma because it's not considered a kli. So and he has rayas from mishnayos and kelim and olos to that effect. So if it's made as a kisui alone, if that's what the glass case is made for, so then it's not considered a kli. It's maybe shaped like a box, but it's not considered a kli, and it's not mekabel tuma. That's what the Marsham wants to suggest. Okay, Ika de Amri. Others have a different version of the discussion. If it's made out of, if we're talking about actual mat, mat, so I understand shalsham shel gemi could be used as a covering for a barrel. Shel sak v'shel sapira chazal parsi v'nafasa. And if it's made out of sak v'sapira, the goat hair, the horse hair, it could be used as a curtain. Or as a sieve, elmanim razuvli. But if you say that it's a shepherd's bag, so bishul mishal sak v'shal sapira chazul gulki v'tzani. I understand shal sak v'shal sapira. It could be used for carrying small produce. El shal sham v'shal gemi l'may chazu. What could it be used for if it's made out of sham and gemi? What can a shepherd's bag carry already if it has giant holes in it? So chazul kinsa depiri. No, it can hold larger fruits without the fruits falling out. Period. Tanya, I'm Rabbi Chananya. Kasharadi l'gola. When I went to Golis, it says matzasi zakin echad va'amrli. Mesachin bebudya. I found a certain zaken, and he said that you're allowed to be mesachich with a mat. Ukshabasi yetz Rabbi Yeshua Achi Abba hoda l'dvarav. When I went to Rabbi Yeshua Achi Abba, Rabbi Yeshua, my uncle, he agreed that you could be mesachich with a mat. Amr Rav Chista v'huda lestei gadanfa. But that's only if there's no rim around the mat. Amru lahani budisa de bnei machuza il molei kirshal han mesachin behu. These budisa of the bnei machuza, these different types of mats of the of the people of Machuza, if not for the rim that was around them, we would be able to be mesachik with it. Tanya nami hachi, mesachin bebudya, v'im yesh lan kir, ein mesachin ben. And the Bryce says just like that, that you can be mesachik with this mat, but if there's a rim around it, then one is not allowed to be mesachik with it. Good, hadron alach sukkah, that's the end of the first parak of mesach sukkah. We now begin the second parak of mesach sukkah. Hayashin tachas amita, if a person sleeps besukkah, if a person sleeps underneath a bed in the sukkah, lo yatzi yidei chavaso. He is not in fulfillment of his chiyuv of sukkah. He's not in fulfillment of the mitzvah of sukkah. Says Rashi, da ohel mafsik beino l'sukkah, because there's an ohel that's separating between him and the schach, and the sukkah itself. V'ikur yeshivas ha-sukkah, achilu ushtia v'shena. So this is something we would have wanted Rashi to tell us earlier, perhaps. But the ikur yeshiva of sukkah is eating, drinking, and sleeping. So if when you go to sleep, they're not in the sukkah, you're not really protected by the sukkah, so then it's not considered that you're fulfilling the mitzvah of sukkah. So he's telling us what the ikur yeshiva of sukkah is, achilu ushtia v'shena. So the Avni Nezer writes in the Tshuva, in Aruch Chaim, Simin Tav Pei, that you see from Rashi, that a sukkah does not need to be right to be used for anything. You don't have to be able to use it for everything. What you need to be able to use it for is those three things. It has to be usable for eating, for drinking, for sleeping. If you have a sukkah that's not usable for those three things, it's no good. Let's say you have a sukkah that's not usable for walking around in, for being metayel, so that's fine. A sukkah zayin al zayin tefachim, you can't move. That's totally fine. Let's say you have a sukkah that's not roi la amida, it's not roi to stand in. Well, yeah, a sukkah that's only 10 tefachim tall is not roi la amida, and nevertheless, it's fine. So the Avnei says, you see that from this Rashi, that's the ikur. The ikur is that you have to be able to use it specifically for those things. Rabbi Yehuda, back in the Mishnah, that we used to sleep under the bed in the sukkah by the zakenim, and the zakenim had no problem with it. They let us do that. They thought that that's perfectly fine. So Rabbi Shimon, one time Tevi, the avid of Rabbi Gamliel, slept underneath a bed in the sukkah. Rabbi Gamliel said to the zakenim, recent Tevi avdi shu tamal chacham, v'yodea sh'avadim p'turim in sukkah. You see, my avid Tevi, such a Talmud Chacham, he knows that an Eved is part of from Sukkah. Levichach Yashanu Tachas Amita. That's why he's sleeping under the bed in the Sukkah, because he knows that he's part of from Sukkah. Levidar Kenin Lamanu Shayashan Tachas Amita Liyasi Dechavaso. From the fact that Rabbi Gamliel made a point of saying, oh, he's sleeping under the bed because he knows he's part there, you see that if a person sleeps under the bed, they're not Yotzei the mitzvah of Sukkah. So Rashi over here says, Maisa B'tavi Avdo, Rashi points out, Va'avadim Peturim in a Sukkah, and Avadim are part of from Sukkah. Why? The mitzvah says shazman grama nashim peturos v'kol sheisha chayav v'seven nami chayav k'damrim b'chagiga, that a woman is part from sukkah because the mitzvah says shazman grama. So anything a woman's chayav in eved is also chayav in, but anything a woman's part from an eved is also part from. So the Rashash just raises the question on Rashi: why would we highlight that reason to say that that's why an eved is part from sukkah? The Gemara in Daf Chav Chesam Ralph is going to be my eight women from the pasuk ha'ezrach Ha'ezrach lahotzi asanashim. Kala ezrach v'Yisrael yeshvu basukos. Only the ezrach in Yisrael sits in sukos, not women. So the Gemara is going to explain, why do I need the pasuk of ezrach? Isn't it anyway mitzvah shazman grama? Shouldn't women be putter anyway because of that? No, because the pasuk says teshvu ken tadurus. So I might have thought that just like when you live in your house, it's ish v'ishto, so too a sukkah would be ish v'ishto. Or I might have thought that there's gzeira shavah, tesvav, where chamisha asar, where we link the first night of Pesach with the first night of Sukkot, and we know that women are chayiv in matzah on the first night of Pesach, because kol sheyeshem bal tochel chametz, yeshem bekum achol matzah. There's a special drush of the Gemara as a Masechet Pesachim. So I might think that they're chayiv in Sukkah as well. So that's why I need a pasuk ha'ezrach to tell me that women are pater from Sukkah, that only ezrach is chayiv in Sukkah. So at the end of the day, the maskana sagamara, how do I know that women are pater from Sukkah? It's not from the fact that it's Mitzvah Shazman Grama. Because if it had only been for that, there would have been two reasons to be Mechayiv them still. Remember, there are many, many exceptions to the Peturim of Mitzvah Shazman Grama. So there would have been two reasons to be Mechayiv. Either the connection to Chag HaMatzos, or the fact that you need Teishvu Kein Taduru. It's really from the Pasuk HaEzrach. So the Rashash leaves as Akasha and Rashi. I mean, he tries to be Miyashi based on the Mishnah Melech, but it's Akasha and Rashi. Why does Rashi Dafka say Mitzvah Shazman Grama? The other question, which I guess we'll get to when we get to HaEzrach, when we get to that Gemara, is why don't we say Afein Ho'ibos HaNeis? That's also discussed in the Rishonim. That shouldn't women be Chayiv in Sukkah because Afein Ho'ibos HaNeis of the Kavod, they benefited from that as well. That's in Yana Diyoma. By Megillah, we do say Afein Ho'ibos HaNeis. It's one of three places in Shas that we actually do say Afein Ho'ibos HaNeis. So 3 days in Tosos about how to deal with that question, with the Afein Ho'ibos HaNeis question. Also very interesting over here, Tosos, Re'isim Tevi Avdi Yishu Talmud Chacham. If you look at Tosos, Tosos says, Evid Kosher HaYikdis Perek Sheni DeBrachos. The second paragraph of Brachos, we already learned about him, that he was a special kind of Evid. Ubi Yerushalmi Tani Shaya Maniach Tfilin V'lo Michu B'yaduch. The Yerushalmi says he would put on tefillin, and the Chum didn't have a problem with it. Uparich and the Gemara, the Yerushalmi asks, "Mikhlof Ashitasi Dram Gamliel Ta'achu Gabi Sukkah Michu Biyado Chacham Mileisha B'Sukkah Shara Yoshin Tachsamita." Wait a second, the Chacham didn't let him stay in the Sukkah. They didn't let him volunteer that mitzvah. They threw him under the bed. They made him sleep under the bed. So which is it? Do they let him volunteer mitzvahs that he's parted from, or do they not let him volunteer mitzvahs that he's parted from? Umeshani the Yerushalmi answers, "Shayosakein Shalol Lidchol Kasachachamim Shayyishen B'Sukkah." No, he slept under the bed because there wasn't that much room in the sukkah. So since there wasn't that much room in the sukkah, he slept under the bed to make room for the people who were actually chayiv in sukkah. It's like when you have an area of your sukkah that's under a tree or something, but you don't have enough room for everybody in the family, so you put the women in that area. Why? The second class citizens? No, not second class citizens. They're part of the mitzvah. So you want to have the people that are chayiv in the mitzvah sitting in the part that's kosher. And the people who are part, ideally, everyone would sit in a part that's kosher, and everyone would be able to volunteer. Ideally, we don't always live in an ideal world. So the Yerushalmi asks, well, if he doesn't want to take up space in the sukkah, there's a better eitzah than going under the bed. He could leave. He doesn't have to be in the sukkah. He's pater. So the Yerushalmi answers, that was the godless of Tavi. That's exactly what Rabbi Gamliel is saying. Listen, look at this guy. He's staying under the bed instead of going into the house and sleeping in a comfortable bed because he wants to hear Divrei Chachamim. He wants to get Chachma. He wants to get wisdom from the Chachamim. The Ritva asks, that according to the Havam and the Yerushalmi, what do we need to ask from the fact that he put on tefillin? Even from Gamliel was mochebo on the Hanachas tefillin, he should not have been mocha with the sukkah. Meaning, to ask the stira, it's even a better stira. Meaning that they let him put on tefillin, that they had no problem with, but they had a problem with him sitting in the sukkah. Even if they did have a problem with him putting on tefillin, they should not have had a problem with him sitting in the sukkah, because the Ritva points out, and this is la halacha that is quoted by the Ramal, la halacha. It's gotten a lot of attention in the media lately, that when it comes to volunteering Mitzvah Shazman Grama, it's a wonderful thing to volunteer Mitzvah Shazman Grama if there is no downside. But when there's a downside to it, you might be violating some sort of Isser by volunteering the mitzvah, then we don't allow people who are pater to volunteer Mitzvah Shazman Grama. So when it comes to tefillin, which have an extra level of kedusha and require shmira of a gufnaki, which is not so easy to do, so okay, so if you're chayiv, you got to do it, and you have to take the risk. But if you're pater, we do not recommend that people take that risk. So a woman who certainly doesn't have a gufnaki, is not able to be shomer gufnaki, and even an eved who's not a woman, so is able to keep a gufnaki a little bit better than a woman, but still, why take the risk? Why would you put on the tefillin? So that ha'ara is already made by Rishonim right here on the daf. There's also a fascinating discussion Well, let's read the one line of Gemara. Valleka asara. Wait a second. There's no ten tefachim over here. Tirgum Shmuel b'mita asara. That the bed is only a problem when you sleep under the bed if the bed is ten tefachim high. That's the only time that it's ever going to be a problem. So there's a fascinating discussion in Poskim. What about a bunk bed? Right? Can you sleep if a double decker? Can you sleep underneath on the bottom bunk of a bunk bed? Do we assume that that's like yashin tachas hamita in the sukkah? If it's so, certainly it is. Meaning, if it's more than 10 tefachim, it's a problem. What if it's less than 10 tefachim? So is that because we discussed before when we spoke about kilos chasanim and the kinofos and all the different curtains that they would have over their beds? So he said that which was kavua was a problem. That which was an oil kavua was a problem. So is this kavua? It seems that this is very kavua. So the poskim have a significant discussion about that. Okay, maybe for a different time. Most of them are makul in the end of the day about sleeping in a bunk bed. It's less than 10 tefachim. Thank you.